Hi, I'm Terry Snowden. Welcome to the Forever Mancunians series here on the Forever Manchester podcast platform. In each episode, we bring you an interesting and inspirational conversation with local people doing extraordinary things in our communities. Theatre of the Senses has a long-established commitment to making theatre and the work around it accessible to all, and offering residents from all backgrounds the opportunity to engage with the arts and participate in a range of creative activities, especially within the Trafford area and across the Trafford communities. Theatre of the Senses believe that everyone should have access to the arts regardless of their situation, their social and economic background, their abilities, sexual orientation, gender identity or religion, etc., etc. TOTS, as I'm going to be calling them, Theatre of the Senses, TOTS, create ambitious new works of participatory theatre through inclusive workshops, and they host a programme of activities that are built on partnerships with theatres, funding bodies, other community-based organisations and similar organisations who may share TOTS' vision of community and inclusivity. There's lots going on. Much to do, and I'm looking forward to having a chat right now about the life and times of Theatre of the Senses with my guests, Sean O'Brien, a.k.a. Sid, and Jenny from Theatre of the Senses. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, let's start with Sean. Is it Sean or is it Sid?
My real name is Sean, but for a long time, for over 30 years, people have called me Sid as a nickname.
I thought you might have been Sean Sid O'Brien or something.
No, it kind of comes...
It's just a nickname.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, tell me something about yourself and life before Theatre of the Senses. Same question will apply to you in a second, Jen.
Okay, so I left school like most people at 16. I was able to read, but my spelling and maths wasn't very good. I struggled, after doing some YTS work, I struggled to find a place in life. And through the music I was interested, I formed a band called Coexistence. And as that kind of drew to an end, my partner at the time, who was amazing, called Bev, she encouraged me to go to college to a place called the Open Learning Centre. I was very nervous, but when I got there, what I really liked about it was very small groups, and you worked on what you wanted to work on, and they would support you. And there was an amazing teacher called Janet Hewitt, who introduced me to the word processor at the time, which was fantastic, because then my spelling started to get better. One, because I was thinking about the word, I was typing the word, and I was seeing it. And she, you know, she asked me what interests I had, and I told her that I'd been in a band. And that band had separated, and I had this huge kind of hole in my life. And she introduced me to an amazing guy called Mike Rook, very, very liberal. And he got me involved in, I think it was the second year of BTEC Performing Arts. And that just then, you know, from there, I developed my performing arts skills, acting. I was, at that time, when I finished my third year BTEC National, I was the first person to get distinctions for everything. And from there, I went to Salford University. I had some great times there. And then when I left, I felt, you know, obviously being a new, young performer trying to find work, I was looking at things. And again, I found an amazing group called Point Blank Theatre, who were based in Sheffield. They were doing actor training, admin stuff, and then you would do learn performance. So I learned a lot of the skills that I put in Theatre of the Senses from those. And yeah, brilliant people, Steve Jackson and Liz Tomlin. They really changed my life, and they gave me my first bits of freelance work as well, delivering workshops in kind of youth centres and that. And they also, because I wasn't up for it at first, but they trained me, this is how you deal in a youth centre. And I just seemed to really enjoy it. So it kind of, my early kind of life is kind of based around that.
Jenny, follow that.
Oh, gosh.
Hello, by the way.
Hello, thank you. So, if I go, like, way back, I got into... So I'm here from getting into, like, drama and acting, which kind of kicked off when I was in school as a very, very shy child, hated speaking to anybody. So the teachers decided what would be a great idea is to get Jenny to do the like drama weekend where we put on a show over the weekend. Sure, Jenny's very well behaved and goes on to do that. And then, well, you know what we should do? Let's get Jenny to do a monologue on stage, this person, and get her to speak in front of loads of people who hate to speak in front of anyone. So I do it. And yeah, what started off as a confidence boosting exercise turned into something that I found I absolutely loved doing. So I went on to do like youth theatre, and went on to like study drama at college, uni, and after that I keep on looking for opportunities to act. Yeah, acting when I can, but also working with like community theatre groups and running workshops. Very, very much interested in what can theatre and what can the arts bring to people on a personal level, if you like people who need that confidence boost or need that help making connections with people, is kind of where I kind of what gets me really excited about it. And then I came across Theatre the Senses when they were holding auditions to take part in a project of Othello. And then chatting to Sid at the audition, I ended up talking about how I also run workshops, do bits of teaching. And then from that, ended up running some of the workshops we were doing in school. Yeah, I'd end up helping out with rehearsals as well as acting myself. And things just kept on escalating until by the time we finished the project, I became one of the directors with the company.
So listen, you've just described it. So something that started out as you being viewed as the short straw grew your passion for it.
Oh, yeah.
And you found a love of it. And what's the story behind Theatre of the Senses? How did it come about? You just explained how you got involved. How did you get involved?
How Theatre of the Senses came about was, at the time I was lecturing in colleges. My wife at the time had developed bipolar, and my son had been diagnosed with autism, so I had to give up work to look after them. And I was introduced to Blue Sky, who are an organisation that they're brilliant. They give us space without charging, and they've supported us a great deal. And I started to just do workshops as a bit of respite and to kind of at least engage with the passion other than kind of housework and children and all those things, which is fantastic, but you still need some kind of escape from that. And I was working with a group of people who had either got autism, one of them was in recovery from a stroke, some people with different forms of kind of hearing voices or depression or bipolar. I was working with this group and I thought, you know what, I reckon I could do a show with this group. So we did a 30-minute production of Jack and the Beanstalk, which we took to Pictor School, which is where my son was at the time, an amazing school. And we did this multi-sensory show where as Jack goes up the beanstalk, the kids had beans that they could break so they could smell the beans. It was really dodgy. We just had these two fans that kind of represented the wind, and we had the actors moving clouds around Jack as he goes up the beanstalk. We did it for 50 quid, the 50 quid I provided. And then we borrowed some stuff from a building firm to create the beanstalk. And then after that, again, going back to Point Blank, director of that, Steve, says we're doing an EU project. They were getting EU funding. And they said, if you want to do a project in Manchester, we can give you 1,500 quid. So we did there, and then it kind of grew, and the multi-sensory thing became a bigger part of the show. So people see, smell, taste and hear our shows. So we try to involve all the senses. We try to make it as immersive as possible. And then I ended up kind of thinking, okay, we need to start making this bigger because we were getting more people, it was growing. So I thought, okay, let's start looking at a funding bid. And I think for the first 2 years, the only funding we got was from Forever Manchester, because their bid is, their application is very simple. They don't ask you to find out lots and lots of data. So that was the first time we'd actually been successful with the bid. And then over time, we've got more and more successful until the cost of living, where a lot of the funding bids have now changed, a lot of their applications made them more difficult. You have to jump through more hoops. And obviously, there's more people because of cuts applying for grants.
How does being open and inclusive in welcoming people through the doors at TOCS, Theatre of the Senses, equate to your productions?
Well, we have lots of different people, and we get a lot of people that have had a tough time in life. We try, if somebody's had something in the past, we try to address it and give them a good experience, as well as rebuilding their confidence, finding out what skills they have, introducing them to new skills. But I think being compassionate is our biggest thing, no matter what they're walking through the door with.
And how do you reach out to the local community? How do you get people to hear about you? How do people get to hear about you?
So a lot of it is word of mouth, or people get signposted, or people have said, why don't you self-refer yourself? Somebody comes to the group and they tell a friend. We do use all the social media stuff, but a lot of the people we work with, although they might have access to it, they often struggle to kind of use it. So a lot of traditional ways, really. Flyers, when we've got the money to produce flyers. Trafford Community Collective, they do a newsletter which gets spread around all the other organisations in Trafford, and that helps to kind of stimulate a lot of stuff. But I think, yeah, a lot of wellbeing practitioners have been sending people to us recently.
Would it be fair to assume that part of what you do is focused on engaging and supporting those who may be affected in a number of different ways for a number of different reasons, and helping them in exploring their own creativity and using the performing arts, say, to engage individuals, and then using the creative process to help in highlighting those issues to a broader, wider audience?
Yeah, I think that's definite. And I think we have people that come through the door, and they have these amazing talents that we think we can help them. One of the things that we try to do is to ensure that they can, one, forget about their problems for a couple of hours, and for them to be able to explore new kind of creative elements, or explore things that they want to look at, and rebuild them from doing that. And there's quite a few people, without us trying, we've actually been able to get into work, who some of them have never worked in their life.
Okay. Now, I guess part of the overall success is in supporting the development of strong and confident individuals.
Yes.
I'm a gathering that's part of the aim and the objective. I'm sure the creativity must be, I mean, you yourself, Jenny, were picked on to be the provider of the entertainment and then found a love of it. So I'm assuming that that's what you're hoping will happen here. Somebody's on a bit of a journey.
Yes.
It might not necessarily be a positive journey, but it's a bit of a journey, and your activities and your experiences and the things that you provide and engage for people, it's about personal development. It's about positive personal development.
I think it's, and with that as well, it's being able to do that in a safe and supportive space. That I think is really important.
Yeah, that's one of the things that we really try to do, is provide a safe space. We've had one individual that it took us some time, didn't it, to kind of, I suppose, get that message through. But now they're part of the group, and they're really wonderful in sessions and creating lots of amazing stuff.
One of the things that frightened me to death when I visited your website, you seem to be a bit big on masks.
Yeah. So we do quite a lot of mask work, because one of the things with wearing a mask is, if you get somebody in your group that is very shy, if you say to them, okay, we're going to wear masks, you don't have to speak, you just have to, we say this is your character, and they become physically really big and engaged, and then over time they get kind of, I mean, one of the clever things that we do is we do a game called Go If. But basically, I start off, or Jenny starts off, go if you're wearing shoes, everybody moves around. Eventually, the very shy person ends up in the middle. They then say go if, and something that's true about them. But then they don't realise they're performing in front of an audience. And that's one of the key things that we do, is we actually put them in an audience without them knowing they're being in front of an audience. And that's always worked really well. We had one lad, he came to watch for 6 months. Very, very, very shy. And after 6 months of just watching, he said, can I get involved in that game? I said, yeah, just join in. And the amazing thing from that is, we used to go out to, because one of the things we do is we take people on canal trips, we take them to galleries, theatre shows. And this person had been to lots of shows, and we were going to the Royal Exchange to see a show. He had missed us. I thought he wasn't coming. This is somebody who used to use Ring and Ride or taxis. I was outside the Royal Exchange when he says, I'm at the bus stop in Trafford. And I thought, oh no. Anyway, got on the bus. I waited. I knew there's two places where the bus would stop. I said, I'll meet you there. He came, and after that, he stopped using ring and ride, taxis, got on the bus, and started looking at all places over Manchester. So even that is like a massive thing for somebody that we... There was an accident, do you know what I mean? And that's what we try and do, is little things like that happen.
Inadvertently building confidence without mentioning the fact that you're building confidence. Yeah. Since Theatre of the Senses started, have you had to learn as you go along?
We've had to learn as we go along, and then for a long time we seem to find a formula, especially for fund bid writing, and then everything changed and it's just got way more harder. We've had to change things. A lot of stuff, you know, there are things that happen on a weekly basis as well within the organisation where you think we have to adapt. And I think one of the big things where we adapted was during lockdown. I come into work on the Monday and I thought I have to do something. I knew I had 15 volunteers that were either stage managers or performers or tutors. And I thought, OK, let's go to delivering food parcels. I think we got some money from you guys, and I think we got the money on the Monday, and by the following Monday we were delivering parcels. So I believe we're quite adaptable, and I think as well with especially the current climate we have to be.
Let me take you a little bit back to something you've just mentioned there. Is accessing funding and funding support becoming more difficult, complicated?
It's becoming more and more difficult. We have put in, I think, 10 funding applications this year, and we've only managed to get one of them. I don't think we've been turned down on a bid for 7 years, and then suddenly it's got very, very difficult. Some of the reasons we are being turned down, one was we don't have a very big following on Facebook. The other is a lot of the people that engage with us, they don't use Facebook.
Is that a criteria these days?
I think because so many people were going for that pot of money that the two of the board members of that charity, they actually do social media as their jobs, and obviously there must have been so many applications. They said our application was brilliant, they loved what we wanted to do, but they were turning us down because we didn't have enough followers. I was rather quite angry about that at the time, and I think when I've spoken to other people, they thought it was ridiculous, especially if these directors were social media experts. Why didn't they, because this was a 3-year pot of money, why didn't they say, we'll give you the money for 1 year, we want to see an improvement, and we're going to donate 2 hours of our time to help you get your Facebook, getting those followers. That's what I mean, that's what we do. We try and help people. We try and help other CICs or other community groups all the time.
Interesting. It sounds like that money's getting harder and harder to come by. Has the cost of living crisis affected you guys?
It's affected us in a number of ways. Two of us have had to go on to Universal Credit. It's affected us in ways that sometimes members can't make it, because or volunteers, because they can't afford the bus fare or the tram fare. We are seeing more and more people coming through, trying to get food vouchers, trying to get support. More and more groups that we speak to, they're saying it's just getting harder and harder. The funding applications are getting more and more harder. Different questions. Some of the questions, it takes you ages to try and work. Well, what do you actually mean by that?
And for what you're telling me, you've got to be social media experts.
Yeah. I think one of the things that we are finding at the moment is we struggle to get booked into Manchester venues. Often we send emails out and they don't even reply to us. Even if they said, no, we're not interested, that would be something. And I find that frustrating that, like a lot of organisations, they're promoting the idea that they are part of the community, and yet...
When the community wants to engage, they don't seem to want to know.
Yeah, yeah. And that's I find frustrating. Jenny hears me going on at the phone about, I've been trying to get in touch with these people, they're not replying and stuff, and that, yeah, that frustrates me.
Jenny, on the other side of the coin, anything brilliant about it? Or is all of it brilliant, other than the frustrations?
I think what I love most about it is, having been there for a few years, is the mix of people that we get to meet and we get to work with and we get to see grow. So we've had some people who've been there, well, to be honest, have been there with Theatre of the Senses longer than I have, and they've stuck through. So seeing them grow and getting to know them better and better has been fantastic. Also being able to welcome new people to the group as well, and it just being this ever evolving community, if you like, with different people coming in for with different reasons that they want to be involved, whether they're wanting to make connections, make friends, develop their creativity, or just wanting to have a nice time. And yeah, being part of that and helping to support that is really, really important.
Brilliant. Listen, time has absolutely caught up with us. Sid, Jenny, thanks for taking the time to chat today. Can I wish you and everything you both do for your community at Theatre of the Senses and everyone you engage and influence every good luck. Sid, Jenny, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Forever Mancunians. If you like the show, please follow us in your podcast app, and if you have time, leave us a review. To find out how you could work with Forever Manchester, show your support, receive a newsletter, or make a donation, check out forevermanchester.com.